Hello, people, and welcome to the CA Reading Society podcast. And hey, Mike, Julie, guess what day it is? Come on, guess what day it is?
It's not Wednesday.
I know, today is Thursday. You are so behind the time, pirate. Come on, guess what day it is?
What?
Guess what day it is?
What day?
It is Mythical March.
So we. It's not a day, it's a month.
It counts as a day. It's a day now.
Okay, March is now a day, just so you're aware.
Pretty much.
March is one day.
But I thought it was Thursday.
Same thing. March is Thursday. Thursday is March.
Okay, we'll
Inception.
Go with it.
The Twilight Zone.
Dayception.
Dayception. Like that. All right, so we are talking about mythology this month.
Yay!
Day, whatever. So we are going to be starting talking about, I guess, Percy Jackson.
Ooh. Rick Riordan.
Whose last
all
name is extremely annoying.
Yeah, Rick
His last
Riordan.
Name is a pain in the butt.
It is a pain in the butt. You need to change your name if you ever hear this, just so you know.
Change it to something easy to pronounce.
That would be nice.
Like Ralph.
Ralph. It's pronounced Rolf.
We'll get to that
we'll
later.
We'll get to that later. All right. So basically, Percy Jackson is this awesome story about how this 12-year-old, 11-year-old? 12. That's what
11,
I thought.
12.
He gets found by a mythical creature, which is a satyr, half human, half goat, and gets taken to this wonderful world called Camp Half-Blood.
It's not a world, it's
and
a camp.
Same thing. It's basically like, you know, there's this whole other world going on that the mortals can't see.
Dun-dun.
And basically all the kids in this series, pretty much, are half god, half human.
What type of god, though? Miss Zeo?
Greek god, Miss Pirate.
Ooh.
So, you know, you got Zeus and Poseidon and...
Wouldn't that be Greek gods? Plural.
And goddesses, yes, I suppose.
Don't leave out the cool people.
I'm sorry, that was bothering me.
So we have a main Pretty character who is the times. Son of Poseidon. And then we
you
have...
You spoiled the whole book. My gosh.
I'm
you spoiled
sorry.
The entire series. The entire series is now ruined and no one can ever read it because you just spoiled it.
I'm sorry. That just kind of slipped out. Does that mean I can't tell who his bestest friend is?
No.
Mother is?
No.
No, I'm not allowed. But you find that out in like the first page.
I don't care.
All right. Anyway.
That'd be a spoiler.
Basically, they have to go through and save the entire world.
Yay.
And then after that whole series is done, which you meet lots of good friends, cry over lots of people, you get to see the new series. In the new series, you meet Jason, who nobody likes, Piper, who nobody likes, and Leo, who everybody likes.
Of course.
That's true.
That's the series in a nutshell. The one the one that absolutely no one likes, and the one that everyone loves.
Because
he's fabulous.
You just can't... Leo is, like, one of the best characters,
He's the character you can't hate, no matter what.
Well, he's just fun.
Yeah, he is fun.
He's fun.
I know, Silence over here really does actually kind of likes Jason, so you can talk now about why you like this loser.
I get annoyed by the fact that they don't know who they are. It's just that is annoying to me.
What?
When they lose their memories, it just
that drives me
nuts. No, I like him as like a second character for Percy because he's not as great as Percy, but he's not as horrible as Piper.
And still Gary Stu though.
Yes.
Little bit.
He is a perfect character. That means he's a Gary Stu.
But Percy could also be considered a Gary Stu.
No, he can't. He's stupid.
That I will agree with.
He is like, something's like right there in front of him. He'll be like,
and then Annabeth comes along and is like, seaweed brain, it's this. And he's like, oh.
Duh.
Yeah. Jason, on the other hand, is like, oh, it's this, this, and this, and this, and I'm going to go fight all the bad guys and win! Yay!
And I don't even know why I'm fighting the bad guys, because I have no memory.
Pretty
Yay.
Much.
Woohoo.
And then Piper's like, oh, I'm the perfect daughter, and I'm
I
I'm
bring
the
you back to life.
I'm the I can talk people to come back to life, and I'm the daughter of the goddess of love, and everybody loves me, but
even
I don't want to be
nice.
Pretty. And it really hurts me that all these guys are just falling at my feet, falling in love with me, and I really don't want them to, but they are, and my life is so hard.
Poor baby.
It's so annoying.
Was Sorry, that all in sarcasm. One breath?
Yes.
Skill. Right there.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, you get to know all the characters and love all the characters, and it's a good series, and if you haven't read it yet...
Go read it.
Now.
Where have you been living?
Pretty much.
Under a rock.
Oh, one more thing. Read the books before you go watch the movie, because the movie is not based off the books.
The movie takes one little tiny itsy-bitsy plot point that's briefly mentioned in the books... And they make it in the entire movie.
Where was that? I only got their names.
Their names are wrong.
The characters.
I think the spelling's the same.
One of the things that really bugged me in the movie was how the characters look is a major part of the books. Like, you can tell all of the daughters and sons of Athena by the fact that they are blonde and have gray eyes. They threw that out the window in the movie.
Except for the second one, they magically have her dye her hair.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, definitely. Annabeth definitely dyes her hair.
And they didn't bring in one of the major characters in the first book, and so in the second book, which is all about her,
they just shove her in
they
there.
They just kind of shoved her in there and said,
there's another character.
There's some sort of, like, mini romance blooming between Percy and Clarice.
Which is disgusting, by the way.
Yeah. Like, they were, like, really friendly.
And I'm just like,
what just happened? In the fifth book that they actually start to become a little friends.
And then even
and that's just, like, friends. It's not, like, kind of like you friends. It's
and like, that's no, the last book of the first friends. Series, in case you're wondering.
It's more like alliance, and it's only because of the amount of stuff that they've had to go through in the War of the Books to kind of become those friends, you know? It's
bad
kind of,
stuff has a way of bringing people together, even if you hate their guts.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And though I did like how they made the character of Grover. I thought he was
good. Oh my gosh, Grover was great.
I love Grover.
Grover was like Leo for me.
He was
like,
the only good character in that entire movie.
Like, he seems kind of dorky in the book, but I like him in the movie more than I like him in the book.
He's a lot more relaxed, I feel like, in the book. And he's a lot more, I'll have your back, I'll beat up anybody who tries to touch you in the movies. You know, well,
I like that better than all.
But I liked him in both.
I liked him in both. I liked how in the books, whenever he gets nervous, he's constantly eating something. Like, it's like
cans. Furniture, silverware, cans.
That's his nervous tic. I mean, like, he's nervous and all of a sudden he's just nom 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 nomming.
I do like that. That's funny.
It's a lot of fun.
He's the good comic relief of the
He really
characters.
Is.
He's when, like Sokka.
When Percy isn't being stupid, which is always, Grover is the comic release. Comic relief. I can talk. Very well. Again.
What about his other series, The Kane Chronicles?
Ooh. Silence has the floor.
Does silence want the floor?
No.
Okay, well, I can talk.
I'm not
it.
Feeling good today, guys. Sorry.
We forgive you.
Her Spanish quiz made her sick.
So The Kane Chronicles is slightly different. Instead of being based on the Greek gods, it's based on the Egyptian gods. So there's two characters in there. They're brother and sister, Carter and Sadie.
Yep.
Cain, and they're kind of related. They're of the house of
magic.
Magicians.
I don't know what it
Thank
is.
You, magicians. The house of life, and they're magicians. Yeah. So house they're not directly.
They're not
descended
technically
from
part of that. They're descendants of two different pharaoh parents.
Yeah, they're descendants of two pharaohs. So they're not blood tied to the gods, but they can call on the magic of the gods goddesses.
They get possessed, basically, by gods, and then they're just like,
against their will.
Yeah. And then the gods are like, well, since we're already taking control of you, you want to use our powers? And they're like,
sure.
Fine.
As long as you don't take me over.
Yeah, pretty much. And so they get into this whole embroiled thing. They end up saving the world, giant battle by the pyramids,
You're spoiling it.
Spoiler.
They try to save the world. They try to save the world.
Do they succeed, though?
Dun, dun. Their sidekick is the cat goddess Bass, who
That's
just
fun.
Acts like a cat half
comic
the time.
Relief. Total comic relief character. I love Bass.
She is not a good example of a proper adult guardian.
Nope.
Not at all.
And they still let the baboon drive.
Yeah. They have a baboon, and the baboon eats anything that ends with O, and he's allowed to drive for some reason.
Don't forget, Bess, the dwarf god.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
He drives a limo.
Also comic relief.
The whole series is comic relief.
I love this series so much.
It's only three books, so it doesn't take too long to read, and it's...
They're finally all out, so you can read them all at once instead of waiting for one book to come out 7 months after the second book comes out.
I like how the way Riordan writes it was like they're recording it on this tape recorder, so sometimes you get interjections from like Sadie or Carter.
Like Carter complaining that Sadie pinched him or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, that's great. That was a good one.
And it gives like a real nice interruption to parts where you're just like, what's going on here? And then you get like, boom, someone says something.
Yeah, pretty much. And then they start out with, if you found this, go to this locker and open up this and go to here. And this is our recording of what happened. And it's like, oh yeah, that's cool. You know, you kind of feel like you're in it, you know?
Like, he's trying to tie it to the, like, make it feel like that could happen in our real life. Like, the gods could be existent in our life and we're just ignorant of it because we're mortals. Yeah, we're not that special.
I felt like it made it like how they said, like, do this and do this. It was like, you know, we're getting caught up with what's going on because we're going to be a part of it now. So mm-hmm. it like really brought you in. Was that what you were going
to
say?
It's like they're trying to make us calmer because, like, all this stuff happened and then, like, we're finding out what it really was, but none of it actually happened.
Yeah, it's like we're what's considered, quote-unquote, mortals. So all this stuff happens and we can't see any of it. So we're just getting this little tiny window of this is what's going on in the world right now that you can't see. All right, so moving.
But the one thing that bothered me, though, is he kept making references in both series to the other series, but then he claims that he wasn't planning on writing a crossover. And so, like, when all the fans, like, just demanded it because he had just done so many different references to him, he writes, like, one short story for
it. Yeah, that wasn't appreciated.
And it wasn't, I don't want to say it wasn't that great. It was a good story, but I felt like it wasn't up to its standards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's this one fan author I know who wrote a great crossover between the two series. Her name is Asilda.
She's fabulous.
She is fabulous. Asilda. And she wrote this great story where Nico gets mixed up with the House of Life, which is funny because, you know,
death.
He's Nico. Much spoilers there. But it's such a great series if you want to read her books, too, based on those two. All right, so what is next?
I think
Merlin. Oh, goodness.
I haven't read this one yet. I kind of want to read it because everyone is reading it now. Oh, yeah. Like, I see it all over the place now. I haven't read it yet, so I need to catch up with everyone else.
It's actually for a class.
Shh, I'll be talking about this with Zio.
And
You're stealing my spotlight.
Talk.
As Zio was saying, she so kindly stole my line, we are reading this for a class called Arthurian Legends and Romances, which is all to do with Arthurian Legends, hence the name of the class.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
It's not about geese?
No, it's not about geese. When
I signed up, I thought it was going to be about geese. I'm pretty disappointed, actually.
Carnivorous ducks.
Because, right. Like, it's this huge debate. Like, gooses, geese.
It's definitely geese's.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Okay. But back to Merlin.
Silence shall be quiet.
Yes.
So, the one we're reading for class right now is called the Merlin Trilogy, or... the Crystal Caves, the Hollow Hills, and some other book I don't know the name of it because
it's in my backpack.
It's in her backpack.
It's by Mary Stewart.
Written in 1970s. And it's really, really interesting how she takes on the whole Merlin, her approach to the Merlin myths is really interesting because while there is some magic in it, it's not like Merlin's going around throwing fireballs and making storms and stuff. It's kind of a lot more through his trickery and cunning and all that stuff that makes it seem like quote unquote magic.
Is it like a coming of age novel for him or?
Parts of it. In a way. You start out where Merlin is 6 years old, living as a fatherless child in...
Wales.
Wales, in, like, the 1600s, you know? And so you really see an interesting side of the story where you don't even get to meet Arthur. Arthur hasn't even been born yet.
Yes, he has.
Has he?
In the Hollow Hills, he has.
Well, like I'm the not first... there yet.
Didn't you just say he was six? Hills.
No, Merlin.
Because we're focusing on actual Merlin himself now, because he's so important to the legend about King Arthur.
Yeah.
And apparently, interesting thing we just found out, this is going to be somewhat of a spoiler, but not really, because it's in Arthurian Legends, Merlin is actually Arthur's cousin, I believe, right?
Yes, cousin.
Cousin.
Which, okay. You know, is really cool. But more on the mythology side of it, you get to see, you know, the heart of Ireland, the rock, and you get to see how the different religions are coming into each other and the kind of clashing between the local pagan and the Christianity. And you get to see, you know, how Merlin's like, well, I just...
He's kind of like... He says, there's an interesting line where he says to his mom, his mom says to him, there's only one God, and he says... I'm starting to believe that. But I think in a way it's kind of like he's mixing all of the different religions together, because there is another interesting line where he says that the one God is, like, Jesus or Mirrodin, which is the one he's named after, or Arthur. He considers Arthur a Christ figure.
Which is funny, because Arthur hadn't even been born yet. He was talking to Arthur's father at the day after the conception, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was interesting.
It was pretty interesting.
All right, so we are running out of time, and we will finish this later. We're about halfway through. And so we will talk to you all later. Yay. And you will listen to us.
Thanks for listening.
You will listen.
Jedi I'll try trick. To participate more and not be so silent, guys. Sorry.
You're sick. You have an excuse.
It's allowed.
All right, guys. See you next time.
Ta-ta.
Adios.